Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you, Nicole, so much for coming on and, you know, joining us on this podcast episode. You're one of our kind of label mates who we're super proud to have just onboarded. And I wonder, could you intro your bit about your work, a bit about yourself to our audience and, you know, tell us a little bit about the backstory that gets you to this point and where you're at now.
Thanks so much for having me, Keisha. I'm very excited to be part of the Label Sessions family. I sort of took a long way around, and I feel in some ways that I've almost come back to the starting point. So I started a new media nonprofit in the 90s, and then I took some twists and turns where I was an in-house creative for 7.5 years, on the advertising and promotion side. And then eventually I had my own business, a one-woman creative shop, for about 13 years. And at a certain point, I was getting broader and deeper at the same time. And I started to think about what was the common thread over the course of my career and what I really had to offer in terms of value. And I realized that that was on the strategy side. At that point, there was just so much experience I had had that it seemed to make more sense to me, and it was what my clients were asking for.
Fantastic. And, you know, the stuff that you're doing now, the stuff that you're building right now, I think we've had this discussion before about the specific kind of niche and topic that you do lots of broad things, but that you like to focus on. I wonder if you could kind of tell our audience a little bit about that and what is it about the challenge which drives you to do that?
I find that I'm really passionate about innovation for social impact. And, you know, I think part of that is personal. And part of that is maybe something in my DNA. I like this idea of winning on multiple levels, not just the financial one. And I think as a society, we're moving towards a place where we actually need it. We need those other levels to be fulfilled. And social impact businesses really, they fire me up. You know, I still get fired up by this sort of a regular sort of startup challenge. But if it has that social good component, then it just gives me a lot of extra energy and passion for what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I was talking to someone actually a little bit before this recording today, and they were saying a lot about, you know, the way that we have been thinking about social and impact and, you know, CSR, ESG, we even want to talk about it, is in a very kind of separate sense where people are very much kind of ticking a box when they're like, okay, I need to fill that part out. Okay, let's get a team together and for them to think about that. But she was saying that nowadays, a lot more people are thinking about it, and including that kind of social impact in part of the foundations of the company, and it's like it's increasingly important, and people are seeing how, like, there are financial benefits to including that within strategy, within, you know, all the way from the beginning when you're setting up your company or building out its values and what it stands for and everything like that. So I find it interesting that that's kind of the conversations nowadays.
I agree in the sense that I think there has been a real shift or change in the way industry looks at it. At one point, you know, CSR was just ticking a box, or, oh, this is something else we have to do. And it's a lot harder to reverse engineer it into your business than if you actually consider it at the beginning. And it does tie closely into the mission and values of the founder or the founding team. I think when I look at a lot of the B Corps that are set up now, there's this model that's been emerging that, you know, that shows how can we be both profitable and sustainable and still contribute to the social good. And to me, it yes, sometimes it can be more challenging, but as more leaders start to think in that way, I think it might become less challenging, because then it's sort of starts to become a norm, right? It's challenging when it's the exception, but as it becomes the norm, it's less so, hopefully, ideally.
And I guess you mentioning about, you know, this is a thing that lights your fire, that really makes you tick, especially as a leader. I wonder, do you have like a process that you kind of go through when taking on these new challenges? Or does it start with a bit of kind of intuitive nature and work into that? I don't know. How does that kind of work for you?
I'm sort of known for a little bit of both. It's similar to how I feel about qualitative and quantitative research. You get a fuller picture when you have both sides of that equation. And I feel like I'm a better leader or advisor when I can bring both the intuitive and the sort of process and data-driven aspect to what I'm doing. Whether it's evaluating a potential client relationship or a new opportunity, or what we were talking about before, looking at trends and patterns in the marketplace. You know, none of those things exist in a vacuum. So there are human dynamics at play, and that's a lot of where the intuition comes in.
And a lot of the things that I guess people talk about is, as much as business tends to be lots of kind of data-driven things, and it's all about, you know, the numbers and the number crunching, at the end of the day, it is run by humans. And, you know, they do have those kind of feelings, emotions, not only within their company, and that's how it kind of runs, but you're talking to an audience of people, and that's, you know, even if you are B2B, you are kind of selling still to a person who's making the decision, and that is instinctive, I guess, intuitive, and like you are selling for them.
You know, intuitive is a funny word. I think we use it similar. There are a lot of intangible, what people think of as intangibles, you know, I don't think intuition is totally magical. I just think it's more a little bit we're operating on our subconscious, right? So we're registering the body language, the demeanor, the tone, the tenor of the interactions that we're having. And those things actually could be quantified. It's just that on a day-to-day basis, we're doing them so naturally, so subconsciously, that we're not registering them as quantifiable. And so we, you know, put them into this bucket of intuition. But in reality, you know, there is, if I was put to the test, I can usually give a business case for what on the surface may initially seem like intuition. A lot of the times it's just cumulative experience that allows you to spot and identify something that someone else will overlook.
And I think on that kind of cumulative experience part, you've seen a lot of different kind of businesses, startups come your way. You've tackled a lot of challenges. And I wonder, looking back at your journey up to this point and seeing how much you've grown, I wonder, you know, if you were to talk to your younger self, what kind of advice would you be giving them? What kind of things are saying, you know, don't worry, keep up with that. That's doing great. But you also, you know, take these words of wisdom.
I think one of the biggest ones, it's not necessarily advice so much as an affirmation, which is that, you know, I would say to that younger self, you're more capable than you realize. And also to sort of enjoy the journey. That's one thing I've really noticed as I've matured and grown, is that I don't hold on so tightly to just making it to the destination anymore. I'm really celebrating those small wins and noticing them and appreciating all the stops along the way a lot more.
And do you think is that advice that you give to kind of the founders that you're working with and the teams and businesses that you're helping?
Absolutely. I think that pausing to take in the win, like the small wins, is vital. That's one of the best kind of strategies to implement for avoiding burnout, in my opinion, right? You know, if you're just driving yourself relentlessly without ever taking stock of all you've accomplished, it's a recipe to sort of, you know, to burn out pretty hard. And even if for whatever reason you're that type of leader, a lot of times it will burn out your team for sure.
So setting those pauses, taking stock of where you've been, the successes, and also where you're going as well. Super important. I wonder, is there anything that you're seeing, you know, within the people that you're working with, or just, you know, your network that's getting you really excited? Is there a particular kind of industry or innovation or, you know, way of thinking, or, you know, anything like that, that you're like, oh, actually, this hasn't really caught on yet, but I think it should?
I think this is something that is definitely catching on, but it hasn't matured at the same rate as in other spaces. So AI for health, health tech and education, especially the education space. There's one founder in particular I'm thinking about who I've been talking with, using voice in education for literacy and comprehension and other types of challenges. I'll put it that way. So that's super interesting to me. I really want to see technology used in a way that is ethical and responsible and creates benefit to the society. And health and education seem like two areas that are really ripe for that. They also seem like two areas where a lot of things could go wrong. So, and that is intriguing to me. That challenge, right? That dichotomy is super intriguing to me.
I think a very like high risk, high reward, especially with these technologies that, although they are being tested a lot, don't get me wrong, is very kind of, you don't know where they're going to go. You know, it could be we've implemented all of these things, AI, and all of a sudden the next big tech things come out and they're like, oh, okay, we're going to switch to that. All of a sudden it's like, okay, we've got to be careful about where we're putting it, what we're doing with it. And like you said, in that ethical and responsible way.
Well, also asking the questions, we can do this, but should we do this? Or why are we doing this? There was this thing that I was taking note of the other day where a potential partner company we were talking with had led their product being only AI driven. And over the course of testing it out, they realized they had more adherence, compliance, and engagement when it was facilitated or had a human sort of companion to it. And I think that that's going to be a really interesting place to play and learn, right? How can we make this thing compatible? Like, I don't think AI by itself is the answer. I think that human touch or companion or facilitator is what's going to really make it blossom.
That's finding that right balance, right? No, I think that's fantastic. And are you seeing the adoption of kind of AI as a topic that more people are thinking about within all industries? Or is it just kind of the ed tech, health tech that's particularly piquing an interest?
I think it's in all industries to the extent that business people at large and consumers view it as a way to speed things up and automate things. So to that extent, there's sort of this rapid play by the people who are rolling it out and rapid adoption because nobody wants to get left behind. And of course, then there are all the issues that are surfacing because of that pace. I think that a little bit of a step back and an evaluation of where it really fits in the business and why and what makes sense, again, is going to make a difference.
But are you having these conversations with all the people that you're talking to? As in the technology, is it like the why part of that? Or is it just kind of, is it something that, you know, all businesses should be thinking about? Or is it something that you're like, okay, it's so obvious that this is a particular fit in this business, but not this one?
I think it's something all businesses should be thinking about for sure. And I've been talking about it a lot with my colleagues. When it comes up, I talk about it with my clients. One of my colleagues and I attended GovAI last December, and we're really looking at not just the benefits, but also the risks and security factors and data privacy and all these other things, intellectual property, usage rights, all this stuff that can kind of muddy the water if you build a business or a product with something that you may not really own, right? Like there's a lot of intricacies here, and we don't even know what they all are yet.
Yeah,
I'm definitely, especially in the health space, I noticed that it's sort of almost like a knee-jerk, just put it, or like when they're building a product, oh, let's just add in AI. And I'm like, well, what is it going to do in your product? Why is it, you know, what's the purpose? What is this really going to elevate your user experience or facilitate something they're trying to accomplish or need? And if the answer is no, then you're just building to build.
And I guess that kind of also answers my next question, but I'll ask it anyway in case, you know, something else pops up. But, you know, thinking about your industry, the companies that you're working with and helping, you know, what questions do you think leaders should be asking themselves right now? Is it the kind of is tech and the ethics of that, is that number one, or is there something else that you can think of that you're like, oh, actually, this is priority?
That's a tough one. I think that business leaders are probably facing a lot of complex issues right now. If I were at the at the executive level of a company, one of the things I would do is have a task force or a committee to focus on AI in my business. I think that that is definitely important, and make sure that they have a policy around it and are sort of having conversations with other business leaders and looking at these issues and figuring out where they stand and why, and, you know, how it's going to work in their business. And also, you know, you can't ignore the competition. So what's going on globally and how to counter that?
Within that, I feel like a lot of people are kind of, I feel like the AI angle, a lot of people are both jumping on that, saying, you know, this is the next thing we should be thinking about. And a lot of people are always pushing away from it ever so slightly. I think for the same things of like, oh, we don't want it to take over everything. There still needs to be the human aspect of it. And I like that thing that you're saying about the task force, kind of, how does it fit in? Where does it fit in? The policies around it are super important as well, because people, if you're going to use it that deeply in a business, you need to have the protection around that as well.
I mean, especially in finance and health, where data privacy and security and all those kind of things, there's so much more pressure on them, and there's a lot more regulation.
No, exactly. And it's almost like you can frame it in terms of a risk perspective of like, this is something that could potentially be a risk to your company, you should be thinking about. Like, you should have the precautions ready in place before anything hits the fan or anything starts going wrong.
Even at the lower level, like if you think about communications, corporate communications, so people want to use AI-generated meeting notes or minutes or emails. And what happens if those things are off or incorrect or don't have someone's eye, human eye on them, and it goes out, you know, and there are some serious legal implications to it, whether, you know, you maybe you end up committing yourself to something you wouldn't have wanted to commit to, or just having egg on your face as a company is never fun. Right. So like there's the big, really big high level aspect of it, like in terms of your product or your business or your services. And then there's even the internal aspects of it on the risk side. And risk isn't even strictly my area of super expertise, but I do pay attention to it. And in fact, I did a like speed mentorship round with some students from an accelerator recently, who have already launched their startups and some of them already have traction. And I raised some of these issues, like where is the source of this content that you're using to advise this audience? And if the audience then relies on that content and it's faulty, then you're going to be held liable. So even something as simple as that can actually have ramifications.
On perhaps the other side of it. So we've talked a lot about the risks and, you know, the importance of putting policies in. But I wonder, how do you think it will almost reinvent the way things are currently done? That's kind of always looking at the positive sides of it. What are you seeing as the upsides of implementing all this kind of AI and this new tech?
I think the reward or the upside could be huge. There was a company I was looking at that I don't know how old they are, but are striving to sort of condense the school day or you know, a day's worth of education into 2 to 4 hours because it's optimized and delivered in such a way that it is going to theoretically that the student learns better, faster, more completely. That kind of thing is interesting to me. On the health side, when I was at the GovAI conference, they had this something called Project Red, which was like an AI nurse that was on call. You know, something like that can make a huge difference, especially if you're in a rural area or you don't have access or you're mobility impaired. That can really level the playing field for you to access care and get help in an emergency, or even if you're just feeling concerned about something and want questions answered. So those types of applications are really, really interesting to me. They're all about helping people or helping the planet, you know, analyze supply chain, figure out where we can make it more sustainable, something like that. Those kinds of things are all upsides to me.
And making stuff more efficient. Because, you know, there's so much on the news about how the education system, the healthcare system is under so much pressure, and it's kind of there's too much for it to handle. So stuff like this will really help kind of the efficiency, help kind of put less stress on that. And so, yeah, it could be, I mean, when it's not in, even if when that starts working, the benefits are huge, and we'll all see it. And that's the incredible thing. We've asked a lot of things, and I've learned a lot about kind of the applications of AI and how we should, you know, put the policies in place and have people start thinking about the positives and the benefits, but also the protections and the task force that should be in place to start thinking about, you know, the implications of adding more tech that not a lot of people are fully, you know, 100% experts and in the know about. So thank you so much. We have one question that we ask everyone on the podcast. It's a bit of an odd question, but we think it gives a good insight into, you know, how people think and a little insight about themselves. Nicole, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you and why?
And why? Okay. Do you have an 11? How weird am I? And why? I think everyone's pretty weird. And so I think I just don't bother hiding it. So that's why I put myself sort of high on the scale. I think what's weird about me, for one thing, is that I don't worry too much about coming off as polished. I'm more concerned with bringing what I can do and know to the table than the packaging. And I love comic books.
Thank you so much for kind of taking the time to jump on the podcast to talk to us and give a little bit of insight into what you're currently thinking about and what you're currently seeing. It's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Keisha. It's always a pleasure to see you.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.